UK Wine Show, show number 154. Cancian and Pomerol with Jean-Michel Laporte. Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 154 for the 1st of May, 2009. My name's Chris Scott, and on this week's show, we're talking with Jean-Michel Laporte from Cancian. As you may recall from last week, Jean-Michel is the managing director of Cancian, a top chateau in Bordeaux's Pomerol region. We talk with him about Cancian and Pomerol. In the spotlight, we look at the results from our poll. Are people spending less on wine? And this week, instead of having a quote, we're going to change things around. I'm going to describe a grape variety and see if you guys can work out which one I'm talking about. So, to get things going, I'm thinking of a bright purple, thin-skinned variety with sensitivity to molds and mildew. It's an early budder, and in many regions, it usually grows above 40 degrees latitude, which makes it quite sensitive to frosts. While you have a think about that, let's have the news with Jane.
Thanks, Chris. The 2009 UK Sommelier of the Year Award has been won by Laura Rees from Hotel Terravina in Southampton. The final was held in the Tate Modern and arranged by the Academy of Food and Wine, with the panel of judges headed by Master Sommelier Matt Wilkin. The 15 semi-finalists were put through their paces with a blind tasting and written exam and a series of challenges. The 15 were then narrowed down to three finalists, which included Laura Rees, Johan Uselen from Hotel du Vin and Bistro in Winchester, and Christopher Delalonde from The Square in London. Hotel Terravina was established by Gerard Bassett and his wife Nina after the sale of his hotel chain Hotel du Vin.
Congratulations to Laura Rees. A top sommelier is really important to the wine and wine industry. With the dumbing down of the retail scene, let's face it, most people buy their wines at supermarkets where there's no one around to help out. At least in a good restaurant, a good sommelier is very helpful. We've been covering Bordeaux a wee bit in the last few while, and I'm wondering, how many top Bordeaux wines are in the government cellars? They've been in the news this week, haven't they, Jane?
Yes, the UK government maintains a cellar filled with wines and spirits worth nearly £800,000, according to a Foreign Office minister. Gillian Meron, Parliamentary Under Secretary of State for the Foreign Office, told Parliament that the government cellar held over 39,000 bottles of wine. She said that the wine, along with 500 bottles of spirits and liqueurs, was worth around £792,000. She was responding to a question about the cellar from Liberal Democrat Don Foster, who accused the government of living beyond its means and wasting public money on expensive bottles of wine. Official figures state that last year ministers spent £5 million of taxpayers' money on wining and dining, and more than £100,000 went on maintaining the Whitehall wine cellar.
If you work it out, there's 39,000 bottles valued at £792,000. That means the average bottle is worth around £20. While this is a bit high, it's not a ridiculous amount of money to spend on wine, and there'll be quite a bit of champagne that they use for reception drinks. With £100,000 spent on wine last year, that's 5,000 bottles at 20 a bottle, or 14 bottles a day. Depending on exactly what the Whitehall cellar services, that's not a crazy amount given the number of reception drinks, etc. that the government puts on.
Finally this week, plans are underway to create a quality standard for English sparkling wine after the EU wine reforms have gone through Parliament. Although still English wines have to meet standards set out in the Quality Wine Scheme, which was introduced in 92, no standards have ever been set for producing sparkling wines. Mike Roberts of Ridgeview has hinted that he'd like to see the quality standard named Merit after Christopher Merit, the Englishman who first studied and understood secondary fermentation, that process that gives champagne its all-important fizz. Whilst it is early days, according to Mike, work's begun to come up with a standard that will represent the very best of English sparkling wine. That's it from me this week, but don't forget you can visit our website 3050.co.uk to get these stories in full.
Cheers, Jane. Mike told me at the English Trade Tasting last week that a group of new world producers had offered to buy the Merit trademark, but he said he wanted to use it for English quality scheme. So good on Mike for that. Next up, we have the spotlight, this week's poll. The question was, in the current economic climate, are you cutting back or spending more on wine? Last time we asked this question was in October last year. The financial recession was starting to result in redundancies from banks in the city. So hopefully with the bottom coming in view, we ask, how has consumption of wine changed? The big change has been in the number of people cutting back. In October 08, we had 5% people saying they were cutting back on what they spend. But in March 09, it's now 17%, which is quite a big change. But cutting back on the amount of wine you drink is at 12%, up from 10%, and some people are spending more on wine. It was 9% in October last year, now 13%, which is a fairly small change. But if you work out the difference between people spending more and spending less, it's still at 4% of people are spending less, the same number as October last year. So, interesting results. While you ponder that, I'll give you some more clues about the grape variety this week. How are you getting on with our thin-skinned red grape? Its best expressions are grown in northern France, Oregon and New Zealand, and wines are often lighter in colour and tannins due to the thin skin, although deep, dark examples do come from Otago, New Zealand. Hopefully by now, if you're listening to the show, you should have worked it out, but I'll give you the answer and one last set of clues after our interview with Jean-Michel Laporte from Le Consignant. Hi, I'm here with Jean-Michel Laporte. How are you, Jean?
I'm fine, thank you.
Excellent. You're from the producer La Conseillante?
Right, La Conseillante. I'm general manager.
General manager. Do you want to tell us, they're a Bordeaux producer. Where are you guys based in Bordeaux?
So La Conseillante is located in Pomerol. Pomerol is the smallest red appellation in Bordeaux with 750 hectares. That's a very, very small and familial appellation. Bordeaux is 120,000 hectares. So the huge appellation, and Bordeaux is a very, very small village. We're in Pomerol and we are just close to Saint-Emilion, as one third of our vineyard is located in Saint-Emilion commune, yep. But it's of course part of the Pomerol appellation.
You're in the northeast corner, aren't you, of Pomerol?
That's about the northeast corner, right.
Yeah, and your neighbours include such grand people as...
You've got Petrus on the north, Cheval Blanc on the south, and L'Evangile and VCC, Vieux Château Certain on the other side. So that's quite a nice place to make wine indeed.
One of the things about Pomerol I've never really got my head around is when you're talking about people in the right bank, they talk about the gravel a lot, uh-huh. Whereas where you're based, it seems to be a lot more heavy clay.
Clay, not so easy actually, because when we spoke about clay on Pomerol, that's about 15-20% of clay, so that's not so easy. But actually, yeah, on the plateau of Pomerol, the famous one, and the one was why Petrus is famous, is because we do have a lot of clay on the northern part of the estate. That's about 2/3 of the estate, and on the 1/3 free, located in Saint-Emilion, we have mostly gravel soils, but the subsoil is the same on all the estate. It's red clay, iron dross, and that's what makes all wine so specific, I think, so typical, the red clay underneath.
Okay, the red clay underneath, not the actual clay on top.
The clay on top is very important to fit the variety with the soil, as we mostly have our Merlot on the clay soils and the Cabernet Franc. We do have 20% of Cab Franc in the vineyard. Cabernet Franc are on the gravels, but the subsoil is the essence, of the quality of the top wines on the plateau of Pomerol and the closest neighbors of Cheval Blanc and Figeac, for example, on Saint-Emilion. This subsoil is very important to manage the water. So when you got too much water, it goes away due to the gravel in the soil. And when you have drought, the clay are able to keep the water in the soil. So that's very important to make the balance between the too rainy year or a less rainy year.
Do you not find you have problems with water just being stuck there because of the clay? Because clay forms a lovely...
Yeah, clay pumps the water.
Yeah. It keeps the water there. That's not a problem there? Because Bordeaux is not exactly the driest place in the world.
Bordeaux is quite wet, but during the winter especially. So the summer could be very, very dry and very hot. It was not the case in 08. It was quite fresh, but it was dry actually. So nobody knows about that. But we had a very, very, not very dry, but we had quite a dry vintage in 08. It was very close in terms of rainfall with 2005.
So you said that a lot of your Merlot is grown on the clay.
Right.
Is that right?
Right.
And then you've got the other grape variety is...
Cab Franc. Right.
And I've also read that you've got a wee bit of Malbec as well.
No, we took them out something like 10 or 15 years ago, so we only have Merlot and Cab Franc.
Oh, okay. Why did you drop Malbec?
Malbec is a nice grape, but very complicated to ripe and very sensitive to botrytis and so on. And I think it did not fit very well with the style of Conseillante wine. So it was taken out before my arrival at Conseillante in 2004. But I think that's not a style of grapes. Malbec has its very own taste, and that's not a style of Conseil. It's the style of Conseillant anyway.
It was only, I've seen older vintages where they've said it was about 5%.
Yeah, that was very small.
Given that you've got Cabernet Franc and Merlot, what are you using the two grapes for? You know, what do they give to the wine?
So the Merlot is very typical from Pomerol, of course, and it's the earth of the wine. So that makes the softness, the roundness of Conseillant. Especially since we are divided into Pomerol and Saint-Emilion in terms of soils, the Merlot is our Pomerol part. With all this softness, this feminine style of wine, with the creamy, the silky tannins, that comes from the Merlot. I use a Cab Franc in the blend to build it, so to make it a bit more powerful. So that's only 20% in the vineyard, and as I lower the yield on the Cab Franc in the vineyard, we do have only about 15% of Cabernet Franc wine in the blend, and that brings me back length on the palate, fresh fruits, mild taste or eucalyptus taste.
Yep.
Something that is really, really typical from the Cab Franc, and with this kind of 15% blend, that makes something more nervous for consumers.
Edgy, a bit more edgy.
Yeah, more edgy as well. Right.
Okay, so it gives. Is it the acidity as well? Is it that?
That's a bit more acidic, but not so different from the Merlot. As the alcohol level, we always think that the Merlot is much more is higher in alcohol than Cab Franc, but that's not so different. Cab Franc is not Cab Sauvignon. Cabernet Sauvignon is more acidic, is lower in terms of sugar, so in terms of alcohol. But Cab Franc is very similar to Merlot in terms of maturity and in terms of concentration as well.
Yeah, I always think of Cabernet Franc as having more of a floral, violets-type note to it.
Yes and no, because the Merlot does have violet as well.
Yeah.
So Cabernet Franc, I call it mint taste, especially at the end of the palate. Minty taste, sorry. That's Cab Franc. The end of the palate is Cab Franc. Merlot makes the entrance, the attack, makes the mid-palate, and the end of the palate is built by Cab Franc.
Oh, okay. Excellent. Tell me a wee bit about your vineyard, Le Conseillant. It's been going for quite a while, and it's had a few changes. I was trying to do some background research on you guys, and it got a bit muddled. No one seemed to know who owned the vineyard for a period of time.
A lot of rumors about Conseillant, but Conseillant is a very old estate. The 12 hectares that we know today are these 12 hectares for maybe three centuries. So in the mid-80s, when Catherine Conseillant, who gave the name of the estate, Catherine Conseillant bought it in 1735, and these 12 hectares didn't change since this time. The Nicolas family, so the current owners, bought it in 1871, and it's the same family, this single family, that is still owning La Conseillant nowadays, and now the fourth and the fifth generations are in charge with the estate. So I'm not part of the family, unfortunately, but they are still very, very engaged and very involved in the management of La Conseillant by all the big decisions are taken together by them and by me.
You mentioned earlier that part of the vineyard is actually in Saint-Emilion.
Right.
Do you produce a Saint-Emilion wine?
No,
blend it back into your...
No, as just like I told you before, actually, La Conseillant is a very old entity. So it was 12 hectares really before the AOC system was created, so in 1936. So when in 1936 they decided to create the Pomerol AOC and the Saint-Emilion AOC appellation, these 4 hectares were part of La Conseillant, and the cellar, the vat room, was in Pomerol. So they just decided that these 4 hectares should be part of Pomerol AOC. So these 4 hectares are in Saint-Emilion County, so we pay taxes to Saint-Emilion, but they make a Pomerol wine. So we only produce a Pomerol AOC wine, only one wine.
Oh, okay. So it's more of a throwback from when the AOC was developed.
A matter of fact.
Yeah, no, fair enough. Unusually for a lot of Bordeaux producers, they normally have a second label. You guys have only really started your second label last year, wasn't it?
2007. Right.
Yeah. What was the reason for delaying it so long, and why have you now decided to do it?
Because we have noticed that most of the consumers didn't know that we were making selections. So for most of the consumers, we were only producing one wine, La Conseillant. So that meant for them that we were putting everything into the Grand Vin, including the press wines, including the young vines, and so on, which was not true, actually. So we decided to create a second label just to to tell them that we were making selections. So we make the Grand Vin, La Conciliante, but the young vines, the press wine, or everything that does not deserve to make the Grand Vin, don't make the Grand Vin.
So what were you doing with the grapes beforehand?
Before that, we were selling it in bulk a négociant, to a wine merchant. So it was sort of a generic Pomerol. So we decided to create Duo just to notice them that we were making selection. And after that, especially with the 05 price, so La Conciliante is an expensive wine for a long time, but 05 was quite a bit more expensive than usual. So we knew that a lot of people could not buy Conciliante anymore because it was getting more and more expensive. But we wanted to keep our style approachable for less wealthy people. And with Duo, we want to produce a second label, but a Conciliante-style wine. So that's the second one, so less concentrated than the first one, but that's Conciliante Mage, and we want to promote that.
Okay. I presume you would have got better money as well by...
And yeah, of course, that selling a second wine as selling a bulk wine is, of course, more economically reasonable.
Yeah. So it's a bit more money in that for you guys. How is the second label going?
Very well. That's a very small production, as we don't have a bad plot producing a bad wine year after year. So that's a very small volume. It was about 600 cases last year in 07. It's about 300 cases in 08. So a very small one, and that's very successful, especially in restaurants, because that's a cheap wine, but a Conciliante style one, and people want to get in touch with it. So that's fine. It's working well.
Okay, excellent. All right. How is the recession affecting you guys? I noticed on your website you had a news release about 4 months ago saying that you'd delayed some of the expansion or development of your vat room. What's the vat room for? I presume that's where you make the wine as opposed to storage.
Yeah, right, of course.
I call it a cellar usually.
We have quite an old vat room. It dates from 1971. It managed to make very, very good vintages, of course, since 1971, but it begins to be a bit old, and we would like to be a bit more precise on vinification and winemaking. So we would like to fit perfectly the plots we have outside in the vineyard with the tanks we have inside.
Mm-hmm. So you're not... Can you not quite exactly batch?
For the moment, no. We would like to have a batch-enabled cellar, right. But with the financial crisis and the wine crisis in Bordeaux, we decided to postpone these works last November. So it will be built in the next 2 or 3 years, of course. But for the moment, we prefer to postpone that as we are a family-owned business. We are not owned by LVMH or by another insurance company and so on. So we are family-owned. We would like to remain a family-owned estate, and we have an expression in France that means that's like a good father management, gestion un bon père de famille, and we want to keep La Conciliante inside the family, so we don't want to take too much risk by building a new cellar and have less reserve with this kind of crisis. So we want to grow slowly.
Are you planning to do it in the near future, or are you just going to wait and see what happens?
Yeah, we plan to do it maybe not this year, but after. I hope that after the 2010 harvest, we're going to begin the works.
Okay, excellent. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Pomerol is often overshadowed by its much bigger Saint-Emilion neighbour, but I hope Jean-Michel has given you the insight into the region. I think the emphasis that John puts on the clay is interesting and consistent with my views on the importance of porosity, the ability to hold water, and permeability, the ability to pass water. I always find that funny for some reason, with clay giving it a reservoir of water in the dry summer months. Next week, we're off to Harlow, of all places, to find out how wine bottles are made. I have visited a factory up there, and we've gone through the wine bottle making process, just for something a wee bit different. But before we finish up, how are you getting on with our mystery grape variety? Our thin-skinned red grape variety, grown in northern France and Oregon and New Zealand, is also used to make sparkling wines and one of the key grapes in Champagne. It is, come on, Pinot Noir. And let's close this week with a quote. So we did the grapes instead of the quote during the show. So you can see why, because this is from Chet in Kicking and Screaming, a 1995 movie. Pretty obscure. If you knew that one, good on you. But it's a nice quote anyway, and you can see why we don't do the quotes as part of a competition. Anyway, here it is. If Plato is a fine wine, then Aristotle is a dry martini. Have a think about that. And until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Chris Scott and the news is read by Jane Scott. To listen to other shows, visit ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.